I'm Adam Angst, publisher of Tidbits and the Take Control series of ebooks, and I'd like to welcome you to this Tidbits Presents event, live on Google Hangouts on Air. Today's presentation is explaining the big three confusions with messages, and you'll be hearing from Glenn Fleischman, author of Take Control of Messages and Mountain Lion. Along with writing Take Control books, Glenn Fleischman is a technology journalist, Twitter aficionado, and man about town, at least on the internet. He is a technical editor for Tidbits, a columnist for the Seattle Times, a regular contributor to the Economist's Babbage blog, senior contributor to Macworld, and a regular voice on Boing Boing. And most recently, he was a two-time winner on Jeopardy. If you are watching this after the fact on YouTube, sit back and enjoy. Comments are welcome on the associated YouTube page, Google Plus post, or Tidbits article. If you're viewing this presentation live, please use the live chat on the Tidbits Presents page to ask questions or make comments, which we'll address at the end. I'll rephrase questions as necessary, but please try to keep them concise. Finally, a minor disclaimer. We're still learning what works best for Tidbits Presents, and Google Plus Hangouts on Air itself is still quite new and changing regularly. If we have technical difficulties, which we certainly hope we don't, reload the Tidbits Presents page for information about what's going on. Without further ado, then, I give you Glenn Fleischman. Please give him back when you're done. Glenn?
Hello, good morning, or good noon, or good evening, depending on where you're at. I have spent the last several months working with Messages, the new replacement for iChat that showed up in macOS 10.10.8 Mountain Lion. And like many people, I was initially frustrated with it because it seemed to be a whole different setup, a different paradigm of how to do messaging. And I struggled to figure out where I could find the things I was used to using in iChat for the last several years. And after hard work, I did the work so you don't have to. We figured out a bunch of approaches. Adam and Tanya Angst were both instrumental in figuring out how to think about it when you're coming to it from as an iChat user or even as a new user, how to use Messages. And we identified for this presentation three areas that we have come up all the time. I get email about regularly, even before the book came out. I hear it talked about on Twitter, that confuse people the most about how to use Messages. So let me give you the big overview of those 3 points, and then I'm going to drill down for about 15 minutes into each of those subjects. So the first is how you receive iMessages from the iMessage network that Apple runs. It's sort of text messaging replacement service that was first on iOS. How you receive those at different addresses in Mountain Lion. So your Apple ID has different email addresses and even phone numbers associated with it. How do you manage that? Second, talk about switching between text and audio or even video chats in Messages, which is surprisingly difficult, as I will show you. It's a little bit of a hidden trick. You wouldn't call it an Easter egg because it doesn't make us happy to see it. It's not full of chocolate either. And third, those who condemn the past are those who forget the past or forget the quote are condemned to repeat it. Where are the transcripts of your chats if you're used to using that iChat? Where did that feature go, and where can you find what you need to get things done when you want to store chats, transcripts that are in progress, that when you're talking to someone else, you want to go back and look at it. So let's start first with receiving iMessages at different addresses. And the thing about Messages and OS X and even an iOS that's strange is that you can have all these destinations for iMessages. Apple added support for iMessage in OS X Mountain Lion, OS X 10.8 Mountain Lion, but the first pass of it in 10.8.0 and .1 was confusing. I was in the middle of writing the book, Take Control of Messages, while trying to sort this out, and it was really difficult to get all the email addresses you might have associated with an Apple ID into the Messages app so you could use them. Apple fixed that in 10.8.2, and they also fixed this in iOS 6. So when you log into Messages in either iOS or in macOS 10, you'll see that when you enter your Apple ID and password, or it may already be set up if you've logged into iCloud on that machine setting it up, you're in the Messages program. In fact, I can show you. Why don't we switch, Adam, to a screen share where I can show you exactly what this looks like. I need to bring up the preferences dialog, and let me swap to make that share. One moment, please. There we go. So, all right, so you see this window here, and if we click on the accounts button there, you can see that I've got various addresses that are listed over here. If you look at where it says you can be reached through Messages at, if you can read that, in the central area, I'm logged into my Apple ID, and I have several email addresses assigned, and you know, all my Glenn F. alternatives, glennf@me.com, at iCloud.com, at mac.com. Because I've got those checked, if someone tries to iMessage me using any of those addresses, they will be received on this computer. And likewise, my iPhone number shows up in the list, and I can receive messages there. Now, I can choose to not. I can uncheck these boxes, and that's a verification mail, I should say. I've added another address here. You can add additional addresses, and it gets added to your Apple ID account. So because, everything's popping up at once. So, Apple's decided I shouldn't actually be signed into iMessage here. So one moment, and we'll get that back up. But so the point is that you can get you can have multiple addresses that are assigned to your Apple ID, and you manage that through Apple's website. And each of the addresses, each of the phone numbers for phones that are logged into the same messages account are available to be used with your Apple ID. Well, I can show you the whole process now. Let me go back and log in. So I'm signing into my iMessage account. I click Sign In. Logs me in, and you see how it's added these addresses here below. It's spinning to enable the account. It's showing all the addresses associated. Now I can say, okay, I want to receive messages on this machine. I'm going to check them at this, this, and this. And look, now they're all checked. They're all available for me. I could also click Add Email. That was the problem. I had a pending address, and that goes through a process where I have to go to a website now in order to bring up the Adam, we can switch back to the dialogue. I'm sorry. Adam?
Yep, done.
I'm sorry. Can we switch back to the dialogue? Yeah. Are we seeing that? Oh, I'm sorry. Everyone's seeing that. I beg your pardon. So as we say, we're still learning here. So now I've got all these addresses associated, and I could choose which ones I want. So it's possible. There's a lot of alternatives here, too. You don't have to receive iMessages at every email address or phone number associated with the account. On every machine you have, you can have a different set of addresses. There's one scenario I've talked about with people where, say, you wanted to have one address for your iPad, one address for your iPhone, one address for your Mac. You could set up different email addresses or use the plus addressing system where I could have Glenn plus iPad at glennf.com, for instance, if your email ISP supports it, which most do. I could use plus iPad plus Mac plus whatever, and each of my devices could have a unique iMessage address, and I'd uncheck all the others associated with that Apple ID. Or you could do what I'm doing right now, which is that every device I have receives iMessages for every account and phone number associated. And I do that in part because I want to make sure I don't miss something on the different devices I have. I work between a laptop computer, a desktop computer, an iPhone, and sometimes an iPad. And so this way, for me, it's a whole seamless environment. Now, you'll also note in this dialogue that you can, there's a pop-down menu where you can pull, it says start new conversation from. It may go down below the bottom of the screen. I'm not sure. No, okay, a little bit maybe. Does the pop-up menu show up or no?
Yep.
Oh, it does. Oh, good. I can't see it on my side here. So when you do the pop-up menu, you see all your addresses are listed. So when you start a new message with someone, a new conversation in the Messages app, you can choose what address is used for the reply address. And again, that's a way to do it if you're using unique addresses from each location, or you only have your phone number set for your phone to receive iMessage, and on your iPhone you've set to not allow any incoming iMessages to any of your email addresses. You could set it up that way. So all your phone iMessages go out from your phone number, and all your messages from your computer go out from a different address that when someone replies goes back to that computer. So it's it winds up being a little complicated, but also once you start to think about it in terms of I have many different mailboxes and I can choose which one I want to use on which computer and which origin I use on which computer, I think it gets a little simpler. So let's move on to the next topic, and please remember to ask questions, and we can cover these at the end. So let's talk about switching from audio to video. Now let me swap back here. We'll change the screen capture. Let me change screen sharing back to the, not that one. This is the one difficulty here. We've got to go to, let's see. Apologies here, trying to make that work. Okay, we'll go back to the main messages window. There we go. Okay, so let's say I wanted to start a message here with Adam Engst, somebody I happen to know from my past. And, you know, I've got all these options here. Let's just say I'm going to use his AIM account. And I say, hey, Adam, what's going on? Hey, what's going on? And so we're typing away. So apparently iMessages doesn't want to work today. That's interesting. There we go. Okay, we're signing to AIM. Okay, so hey, Adam, what's going on? And we're talking along here, and he says, blah, blah, blah. We say, hey, let's switch to audio. So this is something that I've heard from so many people. Adam, you had this conversation with me. We were talking about something. You said, how do you start audio chat in Messages?
Yeah, this was truly maddening, because the way that we've tended to use Skype and all of these other programs is that you ping someone, you say, hey, good time for a voice chat, because, you know, someone might be in the middle of something else, they might be on the phone, you just don't know. And so you do a text chat, you say, got a moment to do a voice chat, and then you switch to audio. And messages came out, and we were utterly befuddled at how to do this for quite some time, until Glenn finally figured out the interface trick that solves it all.
All right, so let's look back at the interface here. And Adam, you've got that up on the main screen. Okay, so so here's the deal. This thing up here on the upper right, if you can see, I'll move the mouse around a little. It looks like a video camera, right? Well, what it is it's not a button. You might think you click it and you start a video session. It's a pop-down menu, and I'm not sure if that shows up. Let me see here. I'll pop that. Yeah, iMessages has decided to take this moment to thwart us and not work, by the way. iMessage is offline. So fortunately, we can do this without iMessage. So you'll see here, now if I do this pop-down menu, I've got options. Not sure if that shows up. Can you see the entire pop-down menu? The edge of it that says video and audio? Or not at all?
In fact, I don't think we're seeing it at all. I think Apple has created some kind of a wacky control that is not a window.
Well,
it is a window, so it's not a menu. It's not a menu!
Thank you, Apple. All right, I'm going to switch briefly here. Again, as we've said, we're learning the intricacies of this. I'm going to do the entire desktop and then hide. Oh, and then I'm going to Ouroboros ourselves here. There we go. Okay, so now let me do this, and you can see off to the side. So you see a menu pops up
there.
Now
it's showing.
And these addresses down here, it says video and audio next to them. But you'll also notice there's FaceTime at the top. And I think this is one of the most confusing parts about messages. It's something I've answered for people, I think, 20 times so far. And I actually had to discover it, too. This is something that doesn't reward you. If you don't want to do a video chat, you don't click something that looks like a video button. So almost by accident, I click it. Because in the past, what you'd do is you'd bring up an AIM list, right? You'd be, here's my AIM list. I would click an Adam Angst, and I can still do this in messages. I would do invite to video chat, invite to audio chat. I'd click the audio or video button at the bottom, and it would start an audio chat message. There's all these options, and you can still use all those in messages. But part of the joy of messages, you can do almost everything from the main messages window. And so I can do this. I can do from the pop-up, I can select Adam Angst, you know, I want to do an audio session, and it does exactly the same thing. It starts an audio chat. When I'm done, I can click, and I go right back to this window, and I'm right back where our text chat left off. So the other part of this is, what you see, it says audio, if you can see the small text, it says audio and video. Well, what are audio and video? Again, it's Apple's using terminology that should make sense, but what they're really saying is this is the old iChat way of doing audio and video chats. It's not the new way of FaceTime chats that work seamlessly in iOS, and now you can use it over, you know, 3G and 4G and LTE connections depending on your carrier and your plan and all that. This isn't the old method. This is the new FaceTime method also available. So at the top you see three addresses here that say FaceTime next to them. Then below a line is video and audio. So video and audio is old iChat style. That's what those names mean. If I select FaceTime, what happens? Let's try that. It launches the FaceTime program in Mac OS X, and it starts a session with Adam with that address I started. So you'll see, if you can see the screen here, I'll get in the screen. It starts with that. he's getting a ring over there. Complete the loop. So I'm in a different app now, but at least it makes the connection. So I'll quit FaceTime, back to messages. Okay,
had gotten it working, too.
Oh, darn it. We could do it simultaneously. We could be doing this over FaceTime. So I think that's the big problem. Of course, the reason you would choose the old style like AIM or GChat or other instant messaging, audio and video, is that you would you get the flexibility there of doing multi-party chats. You can have multi-party audio, multi-party video chats. You can do audio only, which FaceTime doesn't do very well, and it works across more networks. FaceTime only works with iOS and Mac OS X, where AIM and Google Talk and you can do Bonjour locally, but some of the other methods work with many different systems. You can get an AIM program for your iPhone and use that and talk to someone with a Windows phone or an Android phone or a Windows machine. So you can move back and forth, and that's the choice trade-off you're making of is maximum compatibility versus FaceTime, but you can do it all from this one window.
One thing before we go on I wanted to say about FaceTime that we ran into recently that can be a little frustrating is that FaceTime has a menu called Video that lets you select a different microphone to use for audio, but FaceTime has no controls for letting you set your audio output. And so as a result, you can be in a situation where you are listening through a headset, but the sound is coming out of your speakers because that's the default output. And it's quite awkward and a little confusing. iChat and Skype and most other programs like this let you set your input and your output for all audio chats. And unfortunately, FaceTime doesn't do that.
It's very confusing. All right, so let's go to our final point, our third point of the day, which is the where are transcripts? Now, if you were in iChat, are we still showing the screen at the moment? I can't tell from my setup.
Yes.
All right, well, you can show me for a minute. I'll talk for a moment, and then we'll go back to the screen. I'll have it beautifully set up. So if you remember from iChat, there was this feature called transcripts, or it was a thing called transcripts, and it was the record of your back-and-forth communications with the other person or other people in your chat. And it was relatively easy to get to. You could there was an open menu. You could find it in the Finder. You could search against it and so forth. Well, the feature, to many people, seemed to disappear in messages. I've gotten, again, a lot of communication where people say, where did this go? I wrote an entire Macworld article, in fact, recently explaining where to find transcripts. The feature didn't go away. What it did is because Apple reorganized messages around the idea of a contact, in iChat, the central organizing theme was an account. So it was Adam Engst at something on AOL Instant Messenger. That's how I talked to Adam. And then if I wanted to talk to Adam on Google Talk or on Bonjour, it was a different person. In messages, the contact, the person, no matter how many email addresses and phone numbers are associated with that person, is the pivot. So because messages is now oriented around conversations, which are the list of things at the left, the different people you're talking to, that the conversation becomes the organizing theme around an individual contact. And in that context, transcripts make a little more sense because the transcripts are now a little more hidden. The messages window in the messages app becomes your interface to searching through it and viewing it, but you can also find them in the Finder. So let's switch back now to ye old. And as I said, it's, of course, this is the perfect time for iMessage to decide to not work. Let's see. Well, I won't be able to use iMessage. That's okay because I've got stuff stored. So this is the key point. I'm in the preferences dialog in messages, and I'm in the messages view here. I've clicked the messages button at the top, and this little checkbox is the key to how conversation transcripts are stored. Save history when conversations are closed. If that box is unchecked, here's the behavior that happens. Any conversation you have, any chat that's in progress, if you quit messages, if you reboot your machine, if your machine crashes, that conversation is retained in state. So you can go scroll back, you can look through the entire conversation with someone until the point that you go over to the dialogue next to them and you click the X, the little close box next to them. If I close that, and this option is unchecked, if save history is unchecked, it destroys the transcript for that conversation. It's gone forever.
That's bad.
This box is checked. No matter what I do, the transcript is saved, but it's only saved on a given machine. But then I can go and search through it. So let's see. I can say, let's search. I can punch in. This is every conversation I've had with Adam on this particular computer. Unfortunately, right now, the transcripts aren't synced via iCloud or any other way. So my transcripts are limited to the computer that I'm on. The exception, Adam looks quizzical in a window at the bottom. You see.
I didn't think that.
The issue, the difference is that because if you have iMessages turned on, this is the tricky part. If you have iMessage turned on for accounts that you're using on other machines, so on my iPhone or another computer or an iPad, and I have that address for my Apple ID also checked on my Mac, messages will also store all of your iMessages for that conversation too. Now, I've seen some variability. Sometimes if your computer's off, if you don't have messages running and you launch it, sometimes you get back all the iMessages for that conversation, sometimes you don't. But ostensibly, they're all linked. AIM and GTalk, Google Talk and Yahoo Messenger and so forth, those are only stored on specific machines, which can be confusing if you use multiple computers. So I go up here to the search dialog in the upper left. I've got Adam Engst selected, but I don't have to. Not that anyone selected to do this. And I punch in a button just to see if we search, and it brings up, it scrolls back to the first occurrence of the word button. I hate these menus that look like buttons. I wonder what we're talking about. Maybe messages. And I can search through the transcript. I can scroll back through it. I can go through anything that's stored on this machine in this conversation. You see, I don't have that much stored like that. And the advantage of that is that I can search across every conversation I've ever had with someone on the machine. Now, you may ask, where, in fact, are these things stored? So if I use Spotlight and I search on button Adam Engst, what will come up is a transcript. I don't know if you can see this in the Spotlight list. Yeah. But there's a transcript from Adam from today, in fact, where we talk about a button there, right? And if I want, I can show all in Finder, because if I click it, it's going to open. Well, I'll show you the two options are. If I click this, it's going to open it as a conversation window inside Messages, so I can see the back and forth in Messages. I can copy and paste. I can do all the commands I have. But I can also do show all in Finder, and then I can select the transcript. I can double-click on the enclosing folder at the bottom, and then you can see the path maybe, but here I'll do the pop-up. Here's the path. It's in the hidden library folder. I'm in my users folder, my account, the hidden library folder, which I'll show you how to expose, messages, archive, blah, right? So this is where all this information is stored. Your attachments are stored there in a weird format. The archive of each conversation you've had is stored there, and you can go back. Now, the thing is, these are individual files. They're broken up by time and person. Messages unifies it into a single search, into a single transcript when you use it. So that makes that much easier. And I'll show you the trick, because we were talking about that. If you're in your, this is documented in a million places, but if you're in your home directory and you want to expose the library file, you hold down the Option key, select Go, and you can select library from the list. It doesn't show up normally. Or you can also do Command-Shift-G, which is go to folder and type /library. In either case, you get there, and then you can find the messages folder and go inside it and see the archive and look at individual conversations by date. See? So, very useful. So that's where you find transcripts. That's how you search through them, and that checkbox is the key. So let me review quickly, since we're sort of done with our main presentation. 3 points. You can choose what addresses on which computers associated with your Apple ID or phone numbers associated with iPhones. For the same Apple ID you're logged into in multiple computers or iOS devices, you can choose which of those that you receive on which computers, and you can use that flexibility or not. You can turn them all on, some off, or not. Second, if you want to switch between a text presentation or text chat, rather, and video and audio, you click that video button. It's not a button, it's a pop-down menu, and you can choose to switch to FaceTime for one-to-one conversations between people in iOS and Mac OS X, or audio-video for people using AOL Instant Message and Google Talk, where you can use the older iChat system that works fine and have multi-person chats across multiple systems. And finally, transcripts are still there. You have to check a box in the dialog, in the preferences dialog, to make sure you're saving transcripts in that messages view in the preferences dialog. If you save them, then you get that information on your machine. You can search through it later, and you can even find and open the files, edit them in BBEdit, view them in messages, or and then copy and paste the contents if you want for formatting elsewhere. So those are the three pain points we've identified, and now do we have some questions we can answer?
We do. Thank you, Glenn. Steve Wright, actually S. Wright, I don't know why I'm saying Steve Wright. S. Wright asks, sometimes when I've been using messages on my Mac, I leave the office and an iMessage gets delivered there instead of to my iPhone. Any way to prevent this? I think this is getting to your first point.
Yeah, this is an interesting issue. If you there's a complicated set of interactions in OS X. Notifications and messages have a very close relationship. So you can set notifications up, and it's set up by default in Mountain Lion, that if you're logged into iMessage in the Messages app on your computer, even if you are not running messages, the program is not actually active, incoming iMessages to accounts that are active for that computer will show up as notifications. So you can have messages quit, and it'll still do whatever kind of notification you have set. It'll show up in the upper left or upper right, you know, in that bar, or whatever system you decide to use. And so the only way to avoid that is you can turn off notifications. You can turn off notifications for everything when you leave. So you could option click the notifications icon in the upper right corner of the screen, disable notifications when you leave the office and re-enable when you come back. Or if you don't need notifications at all, if you're using messages as a program you switch to and you don't want the interruption, you could disable notifications for the messages app entirely on your computer. There's a related problem, which is when there's a focus. I'm sorry, you have a comment here. Go ahead.
Well, I think more what the question is getting at is messages not showing up on the iPhone at all, only on the Mac. And what that probably is messages being sent to a particular email address, which is configured in the Mountain Lion version of messages on the Mac, but not on the iPhone.
Oh, that's a good point. I'm sorry, Rick. If you go to the Settings app in iOS and you go to Messages, scroll down to Messages or slide down to Messages, swipe, and you'll see there's a place where you can tap your iMessages account and you'll see a list like we showed in the messages program for OS X. There's a list of all the addresses with check marks or not next to them. Your phone number on your iPhone is automatically selected. You can't disable that as long as you're logged into iMessage through an Apple ID. But you can check. So you check and see if the same addresses are checked in both places. That may be one thing. The other thing is there's a focus issue that can be confusing. If you leave your office and you have the Messages app on macOS X running and in the foreground,
yes,
then it disables notifications in iOS. It won't show you a notification.
And I think you might think you missed it. I think that's a feature, actually, in some ways, because let's say you're sitting working at your Mac and you've got your iPhone in your pocket. If Messages is in the foreground, you don't get buzzed or beeped every time a new message comes in on your iPhone as well. That's actually good that Apple's doing that, but this is the one liability that if Messages is in the foreground and you leave, it can just keep accepting things and you won't be notified on your iPhone in the same way once you leave.
Yeah, so it could be one of those two things. It could be if you're getting the messages and you have to go into the Messages app on your phone, then it's a focus problem on your computer. If you're not getting them, check and make sure the same accounts are in Settings, Messages on your iPhone, and in the preferences in Messages on OS X are the same.
Right. Okay, Paul Collins asks, he noticed that you had in that particular dialogue set start new conversations from your iPhone number. And he was saying that he thought of using his email address instead, thinking people would recognize it more easily. Do you have a sense of which works better?
Well, it's a tricky thing because the contacts program, you know, formerly address book in OS X, is integrated so well into iOS and into Mac OS X now, I actually didn't think about it because I only interact typically with people I know, and most of the people I know have iOS accounts or Mac OS X. So when I use whatever I use, if I'm already in someone's contact, it's going to show up with my name, not with my phone number. It only shows up with my address or my phone number to people I don't know. So that's actually an excellent point. If you wind up having iMessage conversations with people with whom you are not in their address book, then that's a useful point. Another thing to point out, actually, that's useful is, of course, SMS and MMS, short messaging service and multimedia messaging service, that are available as part of the cellular telephone network. If you're on an iOS device, on an iPhone, you can use SMS and MMS to people who don't have iMessage accounts, so non-iOS users. You can turn off iMessages and only use MMS and SMS to people, even if they have an iPhone. You can set up iMessages on the iPhone to back up to SMS and do text messages if the iMessage network is down, as I believe it is right now. Thank you, Apple, for the timing. But on any other device, in any other iOS device besides an iPhone or an iPhone without a service plan, or on Mac OS X, you're really limited only to iMessage to communicate among these different kinds of devices. You can't use SMS and MMS on an iPhone. So that's what I find is when I'm using iMessages, I'm typically only communicating with people in my ecosystem because they have to have iOS or OS X Mountain Lion to be able to receive that iMessage in any case.
Yeah. The other thing that I would just add to that is that you may wish to have different conversations started from different places on different devices. So, for instance, you may not want anyone who knows your email address to be able to plink you on your iPhone, and so you may change how you choose to start certain conversations. My feeling with this actually is that it's probably easiest to set your system up to accept everything and start things from, say, an email address, and then see how it works. See if it's annoying in some way. See if it's failing in some way, and then start adjusting. Because it's really almost too hard to figure out the theory behind it before you set it all up and see how the messages actually flow through.
I totally agree. I think that's the thing is it's you have to get used to it. It's also new. Remember, it's only mid-September that Apple updated this in iOS 6 and Mountain Lion to let you pick which addresses you want. If you started using messages earlier, whether in iOS or in OS 10, in the first release of Mountain Lion, this is different. Like, you may have already thought you figured it out and have to go back and think about it again.
Right. Okay, Lori asks, how does using different email addresses in each device affect syncing? Will you see all conversations on all devices when different email addresses are entered on each device?
My experience is no. So that's a great question, is if you're trying to keep information, like you're trying to keep a consistent transcript across your machines and availability, you won't. I also point out that Apple, you know, even though its iMessage conversations should appear on all devices when you're using the same address or phone number associated with an Apple ID, even in those cases, Apple doesn't always manage to sync it. Like, I've definitely had cases in which I'll see iMessages are missing in one place, or I'll open messages and it'll fill up the conversation. I'll start the conversation there. I'll continue it with someone, an iMessage conversation that I've had on an iPhone. I go to the Messages app in iOS 10, and it will fill in a lot of the messages that were missing, but not necessarily all of them. So there's clearly something, the iMessage system is not perfect. There's this thing they talk about in networking, like it's reliable and unreliable means of communication. Unreliable doesn't mean it doesn't work or you shouldn't rely on it. What it means is it's not guaranteed that everything, it's best effort. Everything's not going to get there, and you can't really recover stuff if it doesn't, but most of the time it's going to work really well, and Apple's designed the system to work well, but I do find that I lose stuff. So if you, but to your specific question, yeah, if you use the same, a different email address on different devices, in my experience, I found I don't get those iMessages on multiple devices. I only get them on the device I'm working on, but I think I have also seen cases where I then check a box to add an address, and then the messages suddenly appear. So there's no documentation from Apple precisely how this should work, and it doesn't work completely consistently either. Perfect for users and for people writing books.
Okay, so I want to just encourage anyone to enter any last questions in the chat. And Lori actually makes an interesting point. She says, I read that in messages that the text bubble is blue that is sending via iMessage, and the text bubble is green, it is SMS. And that is absolutely true and very worth keeping in mind. However, as you will notice, you may have seen in the chat that Glenn and I were doing, yes, we were going back and forth with iMessage and AIM, actually. And so it wasn't that these green messages here on the screen were SMS, it was they were iChat. So what I think a more accurate way of saying this is that if it's blue, it means it's iMessage. If it's green or some other color that Glenn is showing, because you can set that, that means that it's going to be some other system, iChat, Google Talk, SMS.
Can you bring up screen sharing for a second? If you make foreground, so you see in the messages dialog, messages preferences in the messages view, you can select a background color for that, you know, that's specific, and then everything is in the same one. So I always see the same thing from messages. If I do automatic, it colorizes it, and the same thing with sender. I could choose, you know, purple or something else, or I can make it automatic. The other thing that's interesting that Tanya and I think Joe Kissel and I discovered is if you go to System Preferences, and because if I highlight a message, I double click on it. I click on a balloon. You see how it turns blue? It goes backward. Or it goes sort of inverts into blue. But that color, we couldn't figure out why we're getting different colors for that. It turns out that in general, your appearance color, the highlight color, if you change that, it changes the color that it bops out there. So Joe had one color, I had another, and Tanya had another, and we were like, what is this? And realized we'd all changed our highlight color. So in some screen captures, it was coming out blue, and some gold, and some purple. So.
Interesting. Okay, John asks, would it be possible to store chat transcripts in Dropbox or similar?
Sure you could. Now, of course, the way the files get written, you never know precisely what Apple's going to do, and you install a system update, it could blow away a symbolic link. Symbolic links or aliases work perfectly well in OS X with Dropbox, and I use that with BBEdit. At one point I was using an alias, and then BBEdit was updated to actually look for an application folder in the Dropbox in the right place, so I no longer had to do alias. But with other things, I use aliases, and they work perfectly well in Dropbox, and Dropbox sometimes messes up the file when it's if you have an alias in Dropbox, that's bad. But if you have a folder in Dropbox and you create an alias for it somewhere else, that typically works because the alias points to the correct location in your local file system, so you have to do that on each machine. Now, I always get worried about that with Apple system stuff because you never know what mucking about they're doing with ACLs and all this low-level Unix stuff. It's possible with iChat, it's really straightforward. So you can certainly try it, make a backup. I have to give the nuclear warning, Adam.
The nuclear warning.
Come back to bring up the dialogue here again. I want to show you one thing, which is there's an option here in messages that looks very innocuous. It's clear transcript. I don't know if you
don't select that. Don't select
it. Option Command K. If you do clear transcript, it doesn't just delete what you're looking at. If you have saved transcripts, it deletes every transcript associated with that contact stored on your computer. I tried this without Adam. I'm sorry, I lost all of our transcripts the last few years. I'm sure I have them backed up somewhere. If I ever need to know what you said before. And I did it on one machine. I was like, oh, let's see what it does. And it deletes, it goes through, and I had probably 100 Adam files or 1,000, all in these neat little folders. It nukes all of those files, and there's no undo. So big warning, clear transcript doesn't just clear what you're seeing. It clears every stored file associated with that contact on the computer you're on.
Hey, now, if only we could get that to work for Facebook.
I think you can make $1 billion with that business, Adam.
Okay. Laurie asks, I notice when saving the conversation history, the conversation is loaded in the message window when a new conversation is started with that same person. Yes. Is there a concern that too much history could overload messages?
No, I don't think so, because it loads it selectively. And it's interesting when you use messages, if you scroll in the upward, backwards in time direction, every time you launch messages, it only launches the last conversation for that person. And I've noticed when I launch it, sort of interesting too, is that I don't think, it didn't do this before 10.8.2. If you quit messages and relaunch it, every conversation you have for which there is a transcript stored is loaded in that left conversation bar by default in the reverse chronological order of the last time you had a conversation with that person, although you can change that in the view menu and order it the way you want, put more important people at the top if you like. So that's weird to begin with. It's like, you know, if you have 100 different people you've had iMessage and other conversations with, you launch messages and they're all there in that list, and you have to close them out individually if you don't want to have a, you know, a list like that. So the related part is that when you launch messages, it launches just that last conversation. So it opens just the text from the last transcript file. Messages breaks these transcripts apart, sometimes multiple files per day, and then every day is a different file for a different contact as well. So it's you when you scroll backwards, you go backwards in time by pulling down or scrolling up in your messages window. Messages just keeps loads the previous file, previous file, previous file. It doesn't actually keep larger and larger. It doesn't have a database. The database is actually a distributed set of files that it can load, and it can also do a rapid search using Spotlight. So when you use the search in messages, it happens instantly, but it's not loading the files and searching. It's using the Spotlight index for all those transcript files. So it's a great question. You really can't overload messages because it chunks it into these small bits and doesn't load everything. I mean, this is a word we always have, this, like, you use email, and if an email program has an email database, you worry what happens when it gets to be 2 gigabytes because you have so much email. Messages are taking a different approach to that, assuming you don't need instant access to everything at once. You can search to find things, and then it loads it on demand.
Right. Okay, last comment. Barry says, I don't have the option to be reached to my iPhone number in the accounts pane for my iMessage account, just the option to add more email addresses. Any idea what that might be?
Yes, this is a common problem too. If you haven't logged out of, when they first added this feature, I think it was in iOS 6, or was it after iOS 6 shipped? And I couldn't get my phone number to show up either. And it turned out, Barry, you must not have had to reboot your machine for a long time, or iMessage has been working perfect on your computer. Because what I found I had to do was log out of iMessage, log out of my Apple ID account in the Messages app in OS 10. And I think in one case I still couldn't get it to show up after I logged back in. And I believe I went to my iPhone, logged out of messages in my iPhone, logged out of the Apple ID account in messages, I should say. So settings, swipe to messages, tap your Apple ID, tap sign out and confirm, and then log back in. Once I'd done that, then on all of my computers on multiple Macs at the same time, it said, this phone number is now available. Bing, bing. I had all these, like, you can now add this to your, it was just a dialogue showing that a new address. If you, it works the same way too. If you log into Apple's Apple ID management site and you add an email address through there, the minute the verification email URL is clicked on all your computers and all your iOS devices that are logged into that Apple ID, you get a pop-up. It's like, hey, Glenn at foobar.com is now available to add. And you're like, I don't need to know that everywhere. Stop notifying me. But so try that. Try signing out on your iPhone and back in. If that doesn't work, then also sign out in messages on your OS X machine and back in, and it should show up. Sometimes there's a little bit of a lag. If it keeps being a problem, then you may have to talk to Apple. Make sure you have 10.8.2 installed. I'm assuming you do, Barry. I'm assuming you're up to date. But 10.8.2 is required for that feature, too, as far as I understand it.
Okay. Well, I think that's all of our questions. So, Glenn, thank you so much for sharing all this information. And, I have to say, it's a little squirrely. I mean, even as you're saying it, I'm kind of going, oh, yeah, okay, got to do that and got to do that. But you know, it's interesting how Apple is putting this kind of easy-to-use interface on something which is really, really complicated beneath the surface, and sometimes that interface doesn't really quite do everything we need.
Well, we didn't even tap the subject of iChat users migrating their messages. There's a chapter on that in the book, and that may be the subject, if there's enough interest, maybe a future Tidbits presents on iChat refugees. Here's how you use messages. I've talked a lot of people through it, and it's, again, there's a lot more complexity in what was iChat. Apple's reduced a lot of the instant message account management. iMessages doesn't use accounts, or doesn't use buddy lists. It just uses your contact list. So that may be the topic for a future Tidbits Presents. It's covered in the book, and so we've only talked about part of the complexity, the easy part that Apple did.
All right. Well, thank you all again, and I hope you enjoyed this Tidbits Presents, and we'll join us again for the next one. Keep an eye on the Tidbits calendar and on Tidbits, and we will let you know when the next one is coming on up. Yeah.